Okay, we'd like to welcome everybody out to the Daniel Town Council meeting, Monday, July 6th, 2026, at 6 o'clock p.m. at the Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B, 55 South 500 East, Heber City, Utah. Like I say, appreciate all of you being here tonight. It's good to see you guys. We'll go ahead and get right into this. So our first agenda item is public comment. And this would be public comment on items not related to the public hearing. So if you have public comment that's not on the public hearing on the zone change request, we'll open that up right now for public comment. Come to the podium, state your name. It's easier to keep minutes that way.
And is this where I get up?
No.
No.
So I just want to bring your attention to Kip Banger, who served on the Planning Commission and was on the County Council. His wife passed away, and he's been on the administration of the town, and I wanted you to be aware of that, that she'd passed away. I don't think it would be out of line for the town to send some flowers to Kip. But I wanted you aware of that. He's done administratively here on the Planning Commission and on the County Council. So
her funeral's Wednesday, if you need to know, so, or if you'd like to know. Thanks, Eric, for mentioning that. Okay, we'll go to agenda item number two then, which is the public hearing for the zone change request at 1680 West, 3000 South, from RA5 to commercial. And so I'll call for a motion.
A motion to open the public hearing.
Call for a second.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Benny, yes.
Walt, yes.
Brady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Okay. So we're now in the public hearing for the zone change request, and we will open that up to the public. If you'll come to the podium, state your name, and tell us what you want to say.
My name's John Call, actually, and the owner of that property being requested for rezoning. And we're here to request the rezoning based on the long-term planning reality of the area now that it's been affected by the airport. I don't know if everybody's aware of the airport's plans. There are several properties affected by the airport expansion. We've all been notified, but I wasn't at the last meeting, but it sounded like there was confusion about the area affected, so we just brought a map to show. Do you guys all know where that, what we're talking about, this area here, which is, hold it up, this area, these are the properties affected by the airport. They're calling that the buffer zone or the safety zone. And tonight we're just here to discuss the reason that we're asking for a rezone. It really has to do mostly with the consistency that's already been given by the town for the properties affected. So go ahead and set that down. I'm going to show you kind of a blow up of those properties. This is just an expanded view of the properties in question. This is our property, the one that we're talking about tonight. These properties have all been rezoned as commercial already. We're only asking for the same consideration be given to us as they've been given to the other properties in the affected zone. We're not asking for anything beyond, we're not asking for any more property to be rezoned commercial. It's just that property. My property is located in the planning area called the buffer zone, and it's been identified as the future airport safety area. It's not typical of the other residential parcels in the town of Daniel. Years of airport planning have fundamentally changed the long-term planning in the context. So one thing to note, this is a photo that I grabbed that was presented back in 2017 for the rezone of this property right here. You guys can see that. This was not surrounded by any other commercial properties yet. It was given commercial designation in 2017. So I know at the planning meeting a month ago, the notes I read, I was not able to be there, we were out of town. But some of the public outcry was that they were giving us spot zoning, or we were requesting spot zoning, which is absolutely not the case. We just want to be consistently treated as the others. This red line right here represents the buffer zone affected by the airport expansion. This property was already rezoned in 2017 or 18 as commercial. It was surrounded by all residential properties at the time. So to say that we were an island, as it were, to be rezoned is inconsistent with what was already historically true. For 7 years, the properties around this property were all residentially zoned. So we're just looking for consistency, not spot zoning. That's all we're looking for. Commercial zoning already exists within the airport planning area. This 20-242526 has remained commercial and surrounded by residential for years before any additional rezonings occurred. And my request is just following an existing pattern rather than creating a new one. The town of Daniel has the authority to zone properties according to their own ordinances. So the FAA compatibility guidance encourages local governments to avoid incompatible land uses in its critical safety zones or areas. So while the town of Daniel has that authority, the airport planning changes, they've changed the long-term planning context of the affected properties. And our request is just reflecting the same thing that's been consistently done. We're only asking, we're only looking at the properties that are affected by that safety zone as requests to be rezoned. That's what we're looking for. It's the consistency of it all. We're not asking for new policies. We're just asking to have our property treated as the others have been treated. And that's essentially what I have to say. Are there questions that I need to answer? Not, I would say.
Is there any other public comment?
I do.
Okay.
My name is Fred Bensler. I'm located in between Eric and John. I've been a neighbor of them for probably about 6 years, located in 1760 West 3000 South area. I strongly support John going commercial, and I would like to as well to follow suit into being part of that as well in that sphere. And that's all I've got to say about that.
Anybody else? Public comment. Do you guys have any questions?
Straightforward, what they're asking.
Okay. Any other comments before I close this public hearing? Okay. Call for a motion.
Make a motion that we go out of the public hearing on the rezone at 1680 West, 3000 South, R85.
Call for a second.
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote. Call for a vote to close the...
I'm sorry. Bennett, yes. My bad. Mayor, I'm just getting ahead of you tonight.
That's all right. Somebody's got to get ahead of me.
Walton, yes.
Grady, yes. Rose, yes.
Coulter, yes. Okay. So we're now out of a closed session, and I'll call for a motion then on the public hearing zone change request at 1680 West, 3000 South, from RA5 to commercial.
Well, I've already made my opinion clear, so I'll make a motion that we deny the request to change the zoning.
Okay, call for a second.
I'll second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Bennett, yes.
Walton, yes.
Grady, yes. Rose, yes.
Coulter, yes. Okay. Go to agenda item number three, which is the Planning Commission meeting summary of June 17th, 2026. And I'm going to read this. Do you guys have a copy of this in your packet? Okay. I'm just going to briefly read through this. The Planning Commission summary, June 17th, 2026, approval of the conditional use permit for Geneva Rock. The Planning Commission approved this conditional use permit for Geneva Rock. They removed the words all noise from the last motion and will be focused on mitigating the noise and holding Geneva Rock to the 57 decibel sound level. They moved forward with the berm and cement 20-foot wall. Commissioner T.J. McGeehan, motion to approve the proposal for the conditional use permit from Geneva Rock. Commissioner Taylor seconded the motion and it was approved unanimously. Approval of the Alpine Gateway concept plan located at approximately 3150 South Highway 40, 26.5-acre proposed commercial development along Highway 40. Proposed uses include flex commercial space, potential gas station, potential hotel. The key issues discussed was traffic access and potential need for additional emergency fire access. Developers have been coordinating with UDOT and the Town of Independence on intersection/traffic signals. Buffering between commercial and nearby residential areas, developer stated flexibility and willingness to work with town needs. Commissioner McGeehan made a motion for concept approval for the Alpine Development Company. Commissioner Long seconded the motion and it was approved unanimously. The general plan annexation and infrastructure mapping reviewed updated maps, including fire response coverage, water service areas, annexation planning map, key long-term growth, and trail system planning map. Key takeaways, the annexation map will guide 20-year growth boundaries and future development eligibility. Trail committee is pursuing connectivity with other towns with grant funding available. Parking could be an issue, but the trail committee has been told that they could use the gravel pit area for parking. The commission adopted a formal definition of the buffer zone, and that's on the back. The buffer zone, an area of land established between a commercial, industrial, or other non-residential use and an adjacent residential use or residentiality. Residentially zoned property. The purpose of the buffer zone is to minimize adverse impacts such as noise, dust, light, visual intrusion, traffic, odors, and other operational effects. Buffer zones may consist of landscaped areas, berms, fencing, walls, open space, natural vegetation, or a combination thereof, and shall be maintained in perpetuity by the property owner. Commissioner Long made the motion to recommend council adopted. Commissioner Long made a motion to recommend council adopt the buffer zone definition as written. Commissioner McGeehan seconded and it was approved unanimously. So that's what happened in the Planning Commission. Any questions on that? Any comments on that?
The CUP and the maps are in the packet, just following this. And Mr. Davis has brought some maps for the Alpine Gateway concept plan, if you want to look at those.
I want to pass those down. It is. That's the Houston's problem.
Yeah.
Okay, if there's no questions, we're going to go to agenda item number 4, which is the UDOT access permit application. And Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, but I asked you to handle this agenda item.
You may have.
I believe I did.
Okay.
In our last meeting.
All right.
I want you to talk a little bit about this UDOT access permit application.
Okay, do you want me up there?
Sure.
Okay.
So, councilpersons, as part of this gateway development, we are looking at application with UDOT for signalized intersection. It's a future signalized intersection. But that intersection will be built by UDOT. So we have to apply to UDOT and get that on the schedule. We've been meeting with UDOT in a couple other meetings locally here, and they're putting together their list of items and the priority, and funding follows that priority. So at this time, we'd like to move forward with, in conjunction with this application, of filling out a permit. It gets us higher on the point schedule. For action from UDOT. So we'd like to move forward with the that intersection. And we, as you remember, we have a highway corridor preservation document that we signed to County, Heber City, and I think that was it, because Independence decided not to sign with us. So we have a highway corridor. We have special permissions from Region 4 Director, because the intersections were not spaced far enough apart to have a light. So we have special permission to put the light in at mile marker post 20. So that's where this application will go, is to that. They're gonna allow us to go either way, a few hundred feet, whatever works out. But that's the general consensus of where we're at with that special permission. We do have different director now, but we do have that signed in that interlocal agreement. So the only way we can change that interlocal agreement is if everybody agrees. And we know that's never going to happen. So we'd like to push that forward. We do have the developer here tonight. If you have some questions for him, he'll be glad to talk to you. He'll give you a map. If you have any questions for me regarding the UDOT, I'll switch out.
Eric, so yeah, we'll switch, but do we need a motion to move forward on this and a vote from the council on
this? Yes.
Okay. So we'll turn some time over to Jaron Davis, let him talk. If you have any questions, feel free to ask them.
Mayor, may I begin by expressing my gratitude to the city for working with me. It's been an absolute delight to sit in the meetings with Eric Mayer and Gary and Meg and others who are just are very welcoming. The main question, and oftentimes the first question that I get, is where I'm from. My wife and I actually live in Holiday, Utah, in the Salt Lake Valley, but I think that that question stems from, am I from the Valley? And I'd like to share that connection with the Valley because I think it's important for you as you preserve the rural character of your community that I'm a believer in preservation. I served on Utah's Quality Growth Commission where we preserved 60,000 acres to preserve watershed, view corridor, animal habitat, but also we were involved in preserving some of the heritage of the Valley. You may know the Kohler family. I'm an advisor to the organization that helped preserve that farm on River Road. But beyond that, my wife and I have owned a residence here since the mid-90s. She's sixth generation in the Valley, not living here, but having farmed the farm called Hillbrook Ranch on Stringtown Road. And we were fortunate to have Mayor as a young boy work with my father-in-law, who has since passed, in changing out the water, Mayor and his father. My wife and I have other involvement close to Daniel City. We own an equestrian center in Charleston off 30th South, so it was interesting to me for me to see the transition up over across to Daniel. So we love the Valley. I consider it to be a very sacred spot. I feel the spirit as I come down across Jordanelle, which used to be coming through the Hailstone, as you remember, but now on Highway 40. So please know that my ambitions are pure. I see this as an opportunity not only to preserve the rural character because we're off the residential frontages and on the highway, but to bring an asset to the community that potentially brings a tax base that can relieve some of the pressures as they come or fill some of the budgets if there are any shortfalls. So our ambition is pure. This that you have before you is a concept because we don't know who the tenants might be. This is insight into what we anticipate may come. Our goal and ambition is to bring, for example, a gas station. We've talked to Maverick, we've talked to Holiday Oil, and we'll continue to talk to others because we're a little bit out on the highway, but they realize that growth will be there and they want to be the last to fill the trailers going up the canyon, the first to answer the need maybe for some chips and munchies as you come out of the canyon. We also would be hopeful to have a hotel there. That brings a lot to a community, not only in the transient room tax, but in exposure to what the community may offer and a place perhaps for some of your family guests to stay. But there's tax dollars that are involved in that. And that too, we've had a favorable conversation from a Floridian company, but that too is just a little bit far out there. So to understand our sales position is to get them to believe in the growth that's going out that way. The rest of them are just really kind of arbitrary lot sizes based on some of the input that we've had from people that have had questions to us about the potential for developing something. The one thing that I'm fairly comfortable about is that larger lot in the back, which would be flex space. We have had the highest interest in that. There's big demand for the individual buildings, but there's also demand for somebody to build the entire infrastructure in a 10-acre site, which is what's mapped there, is about the size that that would be. So we would hope that you understand these are ambitions. The group that we've met with has been very helpful in giving us names of potential buyers, and we would welcome that continued effort to bring to your market those uses that you would see as fitting and contributions. So I'm happy to answer whatever questions you have. We're fortunate because you made the application to UDOT to pick where the signalized intersection goes above Independence. They don't have a voice in this, which is fine, but they support it. And the owner of that ground, his name will slip my mind. I was impressed that Mayor Cole remembered my name, but his mind is slipping my name. My name is slipping my mind. But the gentleman across the street that owns the ground in the Independence is favorable of this location as well, so we won't have any pushback on where that is. And why it's located there is UDOT wants to be 350 feet both sides of driveway entrances and as close to milepost 20 as we can get.
Why well, I have to say I'm excited to see some tax base going into one of our commercial areas because we have very limited commercial areas. And so is that kind of your intention? Not that it matters, I just kind of want to get a grasp, but you're going to develop it and then sell it, or you're going to sell the sections off to the people and they're going to put their businesses
in? That's a really good question. Our anticipation is not owning any of this, okay, but we would potentially build it out. So our intention is drawing those consumers that will build what it is that we're hoping for and then allow them to work through their groups to do that. For example, that Floridian company that I mentioned that has potential interest in putting a hotel there, we built hotels for them in the Salt Lake Valley. So in that scenario, we'd go vertical with them. But the likelihood of going vertical on all of them is not high.
Do you have a designated lot that you anticipate the hotel would go?
It's first come, so on that second page, the hotel is actually closer to Heber.
Lot 7?
Uh-huh. So that's just the best guess in calculating the route for the gas station. But what we have before you is first come, first serve. So if the hotel comes in and wants the other side, then they get that, and we'll figure out how to put the gas station on the other side.
So lot 10 would be kind of about gas station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we want on that, is it still stop and go? What's the gas station name now? The
On the Run.
Okay, that, if you see the current UDOT work, yeah, they lost a lot of their traffic.
Space, yep. Yeah.
So we would hope to be able to accommodate that, not by having a wide open access, because they come in on the light, but on the lot, allow the trailers to be able to come in, fill, and come out back on, so in on the light, out on the light, but we want to accommodate trailers for boats, for trailers, et cetera, that were lost with the come and go. Is that what you said it's called?
On the run.
It seems like, I remember Silver Eagle.
So do I. Okay.
There's states that are kind of available gas stations.
I wasn't in the meeting the other night. I wasn't able to make it. So I'm trying to orient this.
Yeah.
Exactly where this is on the.
Do you know where they were?
We're really close.
And then in the north, the property north of it.
Okay.
Heber Line Power.
So Eric, right here is where Mark Haraldson built the storage units.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
So this road right here.
Does not exist.
Right. Where would it go? It just dies right there.
UDOT gets to pick over your input, but gets to pick where that goes, and we don't know. In sitting with the meetings, that's where UDOT wants it, but we anticipate, and maybe you know more than I, Mayor Eric, we anticipate that it'll kind of dogleg to where the city wants it, but we don't know.
You guys talked about that the other day, about that road going to where, nowhere.
Do you know where the High Country Mobile Trailer Park is? The High Country on the east side of 40. This road right here that you're looking at right here, that would tie in south of that High Country Mobile Trailer Park. That's where that light right there is. So that trailer park sits about right here.
That's not it right here.
No.
But is your question on where that road's going to go into Daniel? Is that what you're asking?
No, this road right here, where does it go at that point?
Into Daniel.
It doesn't.
You guys talked about it a little bit.
We talked about it, but I'm saying just, we talked about it as having fire exit because right now there is no road, there is no plan for a road.
Yeah.
Right.
Whose property is that? Is that Scott Coleman's?
It's actually Gordon's.
Gordon.
And Tom Gordon and...
Joe Gordon.
What's that?
Joe Gordon.
Joe Gordon and Tom Gordon. Property behind there. Stella Gordon is the property that's right there.
So would that access east of Joe's house?
So we don't have that road drawn because it's application driven, but we want connectivity through this project to the other one. So if that may sit there for 10 years, may sit there longer. We don't know, but we want the connectivity through. We did the same thing with Trinnell's, remember? We had them connect the driveways, so we had connectivity. So we have limited access on that highway.
So if and when it did go in, where would that connect to? Would that connect and turn and connect back on to Mill Road, or would that connect eventually on? There is no access to 3000 or Lake Sweet Road.
Right, yeah.
There is none at this point.
Right.
Is that correct?
Yep. Yeah, there's no.
They could probably never access Little Sweden Road from there.
Well, it could hit Mill Road and then Little Sweden.
They hit Mill
Road. As of now, there's no plan.
There's no plan.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been nice to have a frontage road right all the way along that section in that triangle, but that we're application driven by each application. So,
if it helps that understanding, it doesn't hinder our success by having that dead end, whether we have to do a fire turnaround or not, for now or for eternity. We're designing the plan as an interior standalone, in and out of the signalized intersection, and wherever that road needs to go in the future, let that be. The restriction placed on Eric and I in that application is not only that 350 feet, but coming off on a 90 degree angle off of Highway 40, and then after we get the traffic to the point where they can address the right and left turn in a right angle intersection, we're kind of free to put that road where it is. It makes sense for us now to do this, but we can make it make sense past that point in any way that you like. But we do not need it to go through ever.
So, if I'm not mistaken, the light that's going to go in eventually on Mill Road.
No light on Mill Road. Oh, you mean down on
further
the highway, yeah.
Down the highway. So, is UDOT counting from that light 350 feet east? Is
no.
That?
No, that, well, that 350 feet is from the current access to current access, which is Eber Line Power and Brent Haight and Mark Haroldson's property. So it's 350 feet from those accesses. We have to be 5280, so a mile from that, you know, from that light. So the lights have to be staggered at a greater distance, but then when you have drives, we have to fall within those drives.
So 350 is the driveway, mile is the light.
Oh, okay.
Until that classification changes, like Heber, as they come out, they change the classification. They can have lights closer, and that's how that's working. Because they change the classification, which changes the speed limit.
So 350 feet from Mill Road.
No. From a driveway.
Yeah, that's a driveway.
Can I point at your map?
A mile from Mill Road.
So we're...
Sure. I understand that.
Councilman, we're 350 feet from that, and from a new drive here.
Right.
So
right.
That's why we're outside.
So that's why we consolidated those drives. We were talking about Nephi and Davis. We consolidated those so we have, because they don't want two driveways closed. They want to bring those into one access.
If you don't have their way, they'd eliminate all the accesses, but what they don't need is to have is a signalized intersection with somebody pulling right out of a driveway that's not on a light because of the jeopardy of a collision. So this is a safety factor. That mile.
Well, what you propose here with your lots, bringing up the lots, that isn't necessarily what's going to happen for that.
That's right.
In my mind, we should, and I know it hasn't happened, but as we go along east 40, if something like this was to happen, I would think that we would want to be looking at the frontage road that's on about 40.
What happens in that's a really good point. What happens in the UDOT application is that they look at the anticipated traffic count of the subdivision. And right now, this traffic count calls for this type of an intersection, which will have a D-cell lane. And then eventually, as that traffic continues to grow, potentially, as it has further west using your directions, then they make that change on a frontage road. But right now, UDOT doesn't want a frontage road, and their requirement doesn't require one. Like if we were in the next category up, just to give you an example, beyond what our traffic study gave us, is we'd have two left turn lanes where we only need one because of the traffic study from this.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep. You probably know more than I.
Well, I can get a feel for it.
Yeah.
The concept that you see here before us is a far cry from what eventually will happen.
I think it's highly likely. The ambitious parts of this are the retail on the front, and I'll need your help on that.
Yeah.
Just to sell them on the idea that that's not that far out of town.
Right.
And I experienced that firsthand with the Floridian while we're driving down, and he says, "Are we there yet?" Kind of like me driving to St. George with my kids. And when you explain what's happening in the valley, that warmth settles over them. But now he has to come off of the Floridian land cost to a Utah land cost. So. We'll get there with a little bit of arm twisting. And
they figure out it takes as long to drive to Smith's on the north end of town from Daniel as go to Costco and Oro.
Okay.
That is very true.
So any other questions or any other things for Jared?
Okay. Thank you for your time.
Yep, thank you. So I'm going to call for a motion on agenda item number 4. To get started, to get moving forward on the UDOT application process.
I'll make a motion that we approve the UDOT access permit application process.
Call for a second.
I second that.
Call for a vote.
Bennett, yes.
Wolman, yes.
Brady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Thank you.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 5, which is the adoption of the Daniel Resolution number 2026-07-06. That resolution is of the certified tax rate for the year 2026. Megan, do you want to say anything about this?
No.
Okay, so I'll talk briefly about this. So Jerry Jones called me, and he called me the Friday that this was due. And he says, in order for you to change your tax rate, you have to have a truth in taxation hearing, which obviously we didn't have a truth in taxation public hearing. And our tax rate is is what you see right there in front of you. That's what our tax rate was last year, probably the year before that and the year before that, because I don't think we've raised the Daniel tax rate for as long as I've been the mayor. And so that is our tax rate for this year, which gives us a total revenue of $58,092. And if moving forward, if the council feels like that we need to take a look at the tax rate for next year, then we need to have a truth in taxation public hearing. And that, I believe, if I remember right, that has to be publicly noticed and held in May, if I remember right.
Yeah, you have to, it doesn't have to be held in May, but it has to be noticed.
Has to be noticed in May, and then we have to have a public hearing and have discussion on why we're
raising taxes.
And so, so basically, tonight, what I would like to do is just call for a motion on agenda item number 5.
So we're just officially adopting our same tax rate with no changes. I'll make a motion. Yes, that we adopt DR 2026-0706, which is our certified tax rate for 2026.
Okay, call for a second.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Bennett, yes.
Wolf, yes.
Craigie, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Thank you. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 6, which is business licenses. We have no new licenses, and we have 3 renewals. We have John Gladowski, LLC. John, his business is at 970 East, 3000 South. He does custom plastic fabrication. No complaints that I'm aware of. We have Suburban Propane, 3245 West, 2100 South, Salt Lake City, Utah. That is a delivery of propane service. They're a commercial business. They also have a little storage facility out on Highway 40 and Little Sweden Road. No complaints. And we have the Holmes. Garrett Kenner, 3500 South Highway 40, unit number 6, Heber City, Utah. They're a home builder. It's a commercial business, and this is a renewal, and to my knowledge, we have 0 complaints in all of these businesses. We don't do recommendations from the Planning Commission anymore on renewals. We just do them on new business. So I'll call for a motion when you're ready, or if you have any questions, we'll try and answer those.
I make a motion to approve the renewal business licenses of John Wadowski, LLC, Suburban Propane, and Holmes.
Call for a second.
Second.
Call for a vote.
Bennett, yes.
Walton, yes.
Craig, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Thank you. Let's go to agenda item number 7, which is, I'm basically going to talk about agenda item number 7 for just a second, and then I'll call for a motion on this. And what agenda item number 7 is we've had Gary Walton and Dave Hilton and Ryan Taylor doing some work up to the pump house, Daniel water system, and it's been recommended that we make some changes and some upgrades, and we fix a few things that are needing some work in the pump house. Ryan broke down a bid for me, and I'm sorry I didn't put that in the packet tonight, but it starts out from $0 to $15,000 to change the gauges and the different things that need fixed. And when I get done talking, Gary can address this a little bit, or Eric if they want to, but basically everything is running well, but there are some things that need maintained, and we just haven't ever, I think in our general budget we have a budget for maintenance, but we wanted to make sure that we at least approve tonight the $0 to $15,000 expenditures on bringing the pump house and the gauges and the things that need fixed in there up to today's standards. There's a SCADA system up there that we could spend $100,000 on the SCADA system to upgrade that, but in my opinion, at this particular moment in time, I really don't know that we need to upgrade the SCADA system. I mean, it would be nice, absolutely. It would be nice, but it's similar to the BRIC grant, the FEMA BRIC grant that we just told them that we weren't going to take, was the $386,000 worth the $86,000 that we had to match to get two generators, one on the Storm Haven system and one on the Daniel Municipal System. And realistically, it was probably not in our best interest to do that at this time. But what I'm asking tonight is that we approve $15,000 out of the water fund. We will not go over the $15,000, and we may not spend the whole $15,000. The estimate that we got is somewhere between $5,000 and $15,000. And so if it takes us 10 to do what we need to do, we have that approved. But we will not go over the 15 and it, unless we come back on another agenda item and have a conversation about why we need to expend more money to fix the gauges or the valves or whatever. And so, Gary, if you have anything to add to that briefly, I'll give you a few minutes, and if you don't.
So, I have not seen the figures. I know we start off at 15, but I haven't seen the figures on some of the critical things that should be done first, which is number one, a check valve. And David Hilton was going to get a price check on that. So have you received anything on the price check?
I have the breakdown on that, and I apologize I didn't put it in this system. It's in your pack.
I didn't see it anymore.
Yep, see that? So,
Megan? Shows what it looks like, kind of.
Yeah, it looks like this right here.
Oh, yeah, we have that.
Proposed scope of service.
Thanks, Megan. Mm-hmm. So, if you look at that, the proposed scope of services, that was the review that they did, well control systems, booster stations, you go down through all of that, and it's broke down into sections. The replacement of the existing, and that, if you look, that this scope of this work right here on these two pages, that's what's covered in this $5,000 to $15,000 that we're asking to be approved tonight.
Yeah, we don't have any breakdown on each individual
project.
We're just thinking that the scope of $15,000 should cover the biggest part of it.
Correct.
So part of that is also dependent on if we decide to replace like the check valve ourselves, which we can surely do and save a lot of money that way, and have the company come in. So that's there was going to be a breakdown on dollars and cents, but we don't have it yet.
This is the breakdown. Yeah. This is what Ryan Taylor provided for me.
They were going to get information.
Yeah, we don't have
on
that breakdown.
We don't have that. So, okay.
But that's what we're approving tonight. I'm asking to be approved is that $15,000 to cover this scope of work. So. Glad I looked down and looked at that page in front of me. So if there's no, Eric, do you want to say anything on this subject?
So the reason it's coming before you tonight is the mayor can authorize $5,000, right? He can do it 5,000 increments and not, but we discussed this in DRC. We want to make sure you guys are on board with it. So you know what's going on. That $15,000 will, they'll pick and choose. Ryan will pick and choose which one is the priority as we go through there. There's some check valves and measurement, well measurements for depth and how and our drawdown and stuff. Some of those have just failed, right? It's an old system now. So we need to replace some of those things just so we have the data backing everything that we're going to need. I shouldn't say that. Everything you're going to need.
Everything the community is going
yes,
to need.
Yes, you guys are in charge of that water system. So everything you need will be picked through there. And so a lot of them items, like I said, we could have gone another route, but it's just better to keep it out here and do the public business in a public meeting. So that's why it's on the agenda tonight.
Appreciate that. Eric, would you say that this is roughly an amount we should just budget for every single year?
Yes, the SCADA
maintenance all the time.
Well, the SCADA bid came back at $114,000, so that's not included in this.
Right.
But that's eventually we've had it go down a couple of times. We've been able to reset it, but that won't get better. At some point, it will shut down. We'll be running in manual. So.
Okay.
So that will not get better. We won't be out of water, but it won't get better. So we'll have to look at that down the road. When that original SCADA was put in, our contractor walked off the job, and Ryan ended up programming that and making it run. So that was...
He's still the man that keeps it running.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some of the PLCs and things like that in the cabinet, I mean, there's only so many cycles they have. They're a wear item, so they're going to wear out. And so once that Prologic controller tells something to move, that pathway, it wears. So things will wear out. We will have to spend money. It's been a long time since we replaced any of those valves. The check valve we're talking about in particular, it went out, so we was pumping water from the spring down the well. So we was recharging the well on that. So that went on for a week and a half, so
yeah.
Kind of, you know, you pay the money in the power bill to recharge, but.
So it's time.
It's time.
To get it fixed.
Okay, well, I'll call for a motion on agenda item number 7.
I would make a motion that we approve the water fund complaint. Water fund maintenance fund for the water system, approval of the 15,000 max this time.
Call for a second.
Go ahead.
Call for a vote.
I'll second.
Good.
Bennett, yes.
Walton, yes.
Green, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Let's go to council reports, agenda item number 8. We'll start with you, Eric. Bennett, go from there.
I will say this wasn't my idea, but I think it's a good idea. And in looking at what's happening with the county and the proposed mine, Maverick Rock Mine, I think there's some things that we should look at with the help of the Planning Commission. In all of our code, to head some of these things off ahead of time. For example, I think in the P160 zone, mining is allowed, if I remember right. I'm saying I think we ought to look at all those things and change them now if there are things that we want to keep out of our community. And that would start with the Planning Commission. And whether it's a mine or whatever it is, I think we ought to just be proactive and take care of some of this stuff now so that down the road somebody can't come in and say, well, it says we can do it here.
Okay. We can definitely look at it. The problem is the state has done a bunch of stuff to make it hard for towns to stop some of this stuff. But.
And I'm unfamiliar with those things. We'd have to look at each of them individually and see what we can do and what we can't do. Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Gary.
I just reiterate what Eric has said. That I think that should be one of our top priorities now, especially what we see coming at us. There'll be a lot more things coming. The P16 zone, and my understanding is some of the things that are allowed in that P16, we have the right as a town council to change those conditions in that P16 by resolution, I believe. Is that correct?
It'll be an ordinance change.
Ordinance change, excuse me.
Yep. So it's, right now it's, it is a conditional use in there. It's not a use.
Right.
So it's a conditional use in that zone. So the thing you got to be careful of as you take things out is you have to allow things in somewhere where they can go anywhere. So you have to identify where they go. Or it's like the sexual oriented business. We have an area designated for that. If you don't, they can go in any zone. So you have to be careful about what you eliminate and how you do that. So.
That's why we need the Planning Commission's help on,
yeah,
to run all that.
Okay. Sorry, I don't need to go in depth. But,
but at least it's a conditional use now, not a use.
That's correct.
Okay. So we legally we can't just take it out completely.
I mean,
we'll have to look
not?
At that and see how far we can go.
Okay.
Because if you don't allow it somewhere, then it can go in any zone, and that's what the Blood Bowl will let that happen. So we be careful about what we do. I mean, I really do. I hate conditional uses because, as you can see, every conditional use we have problems with. Somebody doesn't like that condition or this condition, and they can appeal that condition to the Board of Appeals. So they're hard to administer, but sometimes you just have to have somewhere to go. And you could even take your P160 zone and designate in this area of the P160 zone, mining can occur. Outside of that, cannot occur. You've identified a place. You don't have to, it doesn't matter if it's feasible, you have a place. That's up to them to make it feasible.
Well, at least in my mind, one of the things that is a big deterrent is that is the property owners given access to the P160.
Yeah.
Can't imagine anybody wanting, in my understanding, it's already been approached, that anybody along that mountain or hillside would want access as a rebel in the backyard.
Well, that's true.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah, that's true probably for the owners now, but
right.
Those are turning over and yep. We're always in constant change. So, yeah, money talks and so.
This goes up for sale, the operator buys the house.
Well, the other thing I think about is to be able to have access through an RA5 zone to do that particular type of operation.
Yeah.
So that would require zone change, I believe. Definitely.
Yeah. It would take some movement on the Planning Commission and Council, both road plans and everything else, to get into that. So we just have to be careful how we, because that's what happens, right? The legislature comes in and says, you've made it too restrictive, we'll take it away from you, and we'll give them access. So.
But as it stands now, you know, the access road would be to that, anything accessing to the mountain there on the south would be the fact that Little Sweden Road couldn't accommodate large truck traffic in a residential zone. I mean, that has to play into effect.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you could require them to do upgrades on and off site. Our code allows that. Absolutely. Yeah. If there's something that's against, I mean, we have the road standards, right? We adopt from the state. That's the things that they have to come up with. They have to make it safe. So
we've also seen with the county thing, common sense doesn't really matter. So
and that's one choice of that. We see that the legislature took that away, right? Here's an avenue you can go. You don't have to do conditional use. Everything we have in our code, if it was out of there, they could still do what the state's allowed them to do. And that's what they did.
Anything that we can do now before there's a proposal or something that we should do.
Because Little Sweet Road, I'm not sure how it was created, but if it's a typical town road, it's, what, 60 feet wide, and they don't have to pay for the property to go wider. So you'd have everybody along that road upset at you. I mean, it's a town that's about everything.
Being upset and what they can actually physically do.
Well, right now they're doing it on Daniel's Road.
Yeah, we see it. We see it already on Daniel.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Somehow they're getting away with it.
Someone's got teeth. Whatever it is we do. So like I stated before, what's the sense of having an ordinance in the town if we have no capability of enforcement?
That's true. The question is how far do you want to go, and do we want to fine everybody in the town? Because I'm still convinced we can find a violation on every property in the town.
Absolutely.
I can almost guarantee it.
But we can also go after the biggest offenders. They're causing the biggest.
But I'm just saying, you've got, as a council, you've got to figure out how you want to do it, how to make it work, and not get sued because you let this person do it and you didn't let me do it. Anyway.
Well, we already seen an example of that tonight. Yeah, there's a.
Well, there was a little. Some of the information wasn't entirely correct.
A lot of it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Anything else, Gary?
No.
Stephanie?
Well, I agree that we should, that should be a priority, and we should be looking at that. That's, and then I also am not going to get into Maverick Rock a lot, but I just wanted to thank everybody for spending their time last Wednesday. Lisa, you know, everybody coming and speaking up for it because it's important. So
we're very well done comments, I thought. Everybody that comes.
Yeah, everybody.
Did a good job.
The sad thing about the whole meeting, in my mind, was the simple fact that they were being threatened.
Well,
as
yeah.
a county, being threatened.
They threaten themselves.
Huh?
They threaten themselves.
Well, that's true.
Their negotiated deal was a bad deal.
Yeah.
But they negotiated a deal that didn't have all the facts. By no means. You brought up a number of issues, and it flew right over.
I had more. I didn't have more time, but I had more.
Well, we should have.
Yeah. I don't think their lawyer knew a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure not.
Well, everybody did a great job. So that's
thank you, Stephanie.
It's on record.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Brooke?
I don't have anything.
Okay. And I'll keep what I have to say for later. I got a couple of things we need to talk about, but we'll go into closed session and talk about those in closed session. Okay, let's go to agenda item number 9 then, which is the planning report and update. That's planning reports in front of you. If you have any questions or any, address those to Eric.
There's a lot of bonds going up.
There is. There's a lot of ag coming at us right now. We've had that happen on 2 that I can recall. Come back and change.
And one of them was on my neighbor's, correct?
Your neighbor?
Krebs' property.
Krebs.
Did they come back?
Okay.
On their bull barn, I think.
No.
They didn't?
No. But it was...
That one wasn't a pole barn.
No.
That was a shop.
Shop.
It was not put up as an ag building.
Yeah, it was an accessory structure.
It was an accessory structure. So he got a building permit for that.
Because he had power in there and everything from the get-go.
So he didn't come back. So it was originally in the permit that was allowed.
Yeah, it was an accessory structure, not an ag building. Yeah. And I reported last time that we lose money on the ag buildings, but we just need to run them through our engineer because as soon as they get them built, then they want power in there, right? So, and then we have to bring everybody back up to speed. It costs us money, so we're just running them through engineering, and then they're sitting in our folder, and so they have all the plans and everything sitting there. So when they come back, it's an easy upgrade. I mean, if they want to go from ag to a accessory structure, that's bigger because then they have to X-ray the foundations. We don't have any of the inspections.
Yeah.
If it's an ag building. So if you want to move from ag building to accessory structure, it's cost a lot of money to do that. Because the only way we can do that is to x-ray. And that's on them for the cost. That's expensive. If there's any inkling at all that you don't want a ag building, you may want to go for the inspections and get it done correctly.
Because it's not engineered, the ag building. You may
not have
the structure for the roof or anything strong enough. So you may have to totally rebuild if you want.
So the one that's there behind.
So you remember Richards, right?
Yes.
So they changed that one. They went down to dig down, put new footings in, wrapped the beams in copper. I mean, it was extensive what they had to do to make that go from an ag to a.
Right. So the building, the one that's being built behind Treble's place there.
Mm-hmm.
Did that come to us as an ag building?
No, that's an accessory structure.
That's an accessory building.
Yep. He had all the engineering done. The inspections have been taking place.
Okay. So then we moved it on down and we look at Skinner. It's behind Skinner.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
I don't recall it. I think it was an accessory structure, but that's been.
I think it was an angle.
It's been a couple of years ago.
I think that one was an angle.
It might have been. He did get an inspection for the power, though, because Dave was out there. They had dug the
conduit. Yeah, just because it's an ag building doesn't mean you can't power it if you have to inspect it.
Right. Yeah. But if you find that people living in it,
That's not allowed at all, no matter if it's ag or...
Live in it, you can't have parties in it, because it's not engineered for human habitation. You know, they don't check to see that the roof's not going to cave in with a snowstorm. So if you're having a big party in an ag building and the roof caves in, you're in deep trouble.
And so that paper we have them sign, it abolishes the town from any liability because that's what we state. It is not inspected. It's not engineered. It's on you.
Yeah, it's not for human habitation. And they agree that it's not. Not that anyone...
Which way is limited by public access or public use of it, like one party.
So we try and cover as good as we can. Again, state law dictates what ag is. So if they sign that paper and say that's ag, it's ag.
Yeah, other towns have had a lot of issues with people turning an old barn into a reception center and those kinds of things. And there's a lot that has to happen to do that legally.
Okay, any other questions on that? Okay, let's go to the Stormhaven and Daniel Water System report. And I talked with Dave earlier today, and I'm not sure if it's his wife's 50th birthday today or it's his 50th birthday today. I can't remember which.
It's probably his.
But I definitely don't want to say his wife's turning 50 today.
No.
They were unable to make this tonight, and basically, and Gary can help me with this, but the water systems are both they're running good. They were able to read the meters. We still have a few meters that aren't being that aren't reading, but we did get the new reader and the new antenna and everything, and that's working great. Emily did tell me that it's way easy to go read meters now, and everything's running well. We thought we might have had a leak, but that was checked into at a residence. There was no leak. And so, to my knowledge, both water systems are running correctly. We had we did have the state come and look at the Storm Haven water system, and they sent us a review on that, and that review was a great review. Ryan Taylor and Dave met the state up there and did that review. There's a couple of things that we need to correct, but we're working on that. So we're aware of that, but the state said we were in compliance and in good standings, so.
Can I announce something?
Sure.
Just
your birthday.
It is not. the consumer confidence report for both water systems were finished, and they are posted on the town website.
Awesome.
And if anyone wants to come request one at the office, they're available there as well.
You'll have donuts?
If you bring them.
Oh.
I'll pass them out.
She's ready to donut for a report.
There you go.
Okay.
So, Mayor, did Dave mention to you about the McMillan?
He did not give me the rest of the update. The update I took was from you on McMillan's property.
So, yeah, he was, it's like 2,500 gallons in 30 days. And, of course, it will get flowing. And he said he was going to get on it ASAP. But the question was, he's asking for forgiveness again on that amount. And I don't quote me, but the close, we're looking between $1,300 and $1,500 on the water bill. So that was going to be yours and Dave's direction, but I didn't.
Right.
He didn't mention that to you then.
He did not mention that to me today, but I knew that the conversation that you and I had had, where you and Dave went up together.
Do I look like Larry Ward?
Similar. You're about 6 feet shorter than him.
6 inches, not anymore.
But yeah. I'll talk to Dave on that, and we'll get that worked out.
We need
out.
To get that addressed, I would think. He's going to keep coming back on it. But.
Yeah. And the town policy, you guys are all aware of this, is if they have a water leak and they fix it, the town does give some forgiveness. We're not going to give it all, I can tell you that right now.
This is the same problem that happened X amount of months ago.
Right.
The same thing.
The
it
problem,
was quite obvious that there was a leak.
A few months ago, he was in the hospital, though.
Sure.
And I'm aware of that situation, and I will go visit with him again. I have no, I will take somebody with me at your recommendation.
Well, that's.
I don't want a gun pointed at me. You're going up to talk water. People get killed over water issues.
Yeah.
But we'll take care of that. Appreciate that. No, thank you. Okay, so.
One more thing. We still have got a couple of residents that I've noticed buried their meters, and I've asked one of them is in Storm Haven. We've asked them since last fall to uncover it, and so another one is on Ranch Drive. So we definitely got to have those uncovered by.
I'll have Emily put something in the next billing.
And a notice to those people.
A notice on all of the water bills that we need to have the meter lids visible.
Yep, accessible.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, let's go to the recorder's office warrants for approval on announcements, and we'll just turn the time over to Megan.
Okay, the only thing on the warrant sheet is Jolene Munford did not get her hours to me. She was out of town, and I think she's camping, so she's not reachable. So I guess I'm just asking that you will pre-approve whatever hours she turns in She's been working every Tuesday for the month of June.
Is that pretty consistent then?
Yeah, she's been doing every Tuesday in June, and she did the Planning Commission meeting as well, so. But everything else is on there.
Can you give us kind of an estimate or a maximum amount?
Well, I mean, if she did, let me look at a calendar. Four, there are five. And if she does 4 hours,
20.
That's 20 hours. She's getting paid, her training rate is $20 an hour. So, yeah, plus the Planning Commission meeting, so maybe around 500.
40 hours, wouldn't exceed 40 hours, right?
What?
It wouldn't exceed 40 hours.
Oh, no, not at all.
Office,
no.
And 20 for planning. Next month it'll be bigger on planning, but.
Well, and there can be a discussion. She's moved out of her training role. So if you're wanting to bump her up to the 25 at some point. Mary was only at 9.5 hours this last month, so she's kind of swapped or transitioned over, taking over that role.
So you think she had 20 hours, 25 hours?
Yeah, I would imagine about that much. Mm-hmm.
So if he was to prove that not to exceed $500, we'd probably be covered.
I would think so, yeah. So.
And then if she did have more hours, then we could add it
to next
month. Warrants.
Okay.
If you did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. If she has 20, I bet she had more than 5 hours of planning.
Well, I mean, she went to the planning meeting, but everything else that she was doing was when she was in the office.
And everything. So.
Yeah.
I don't.
30, I'd go 30 hours.
Okay.
So you don't
yell and make.
So she doesn't have to wait another.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we'll just.
Okay. So I'll call for a motion. Have you got anything else?
No, everything else is on there. Unless you had any other questions.
I make a motion that we approve the Town of Daniel June 2026 warrants presented July 6th with the addition for the clerk trainee, Jolene Lundford, to add up to 30 hours once we get those hours.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Daniel, yes.
Olin, yes.
Grady, yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes. Let's go to agenda item number 12, approval of the council minutes for June 1st, 2026. And when you're ready, I'll call for a motion.
I make a motion that we approve the council minutes for June 1st, 2026.
Call for a second.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Bennett, yes.
Olin, yes.
Creed, yes.
Eric, was that your second?
Yes.
Okay.
They're very long.
Me a little while.
And they're very good, though.
Here.
Yeah.
We're your.
Rose, yes.
Oh, yes, sorry.
Colbert, no,
sorry. Yes. I can take stuff out if they're too long.
It was a very long meeting.
It was
long.
I understand. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's. I'm going to call for a motion on agenda item number 13 that we go into a closed session. So I'll call for that.
I make a motion to go out of regular session and into a closed session permitted by UCA 52-4-205.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Yes.
Rose, yes.
Kohler, yes.